We know motherhood is hard. We live in the age of Oprah. Some mothers might not want their kids to hear how hard it can be, so this next segment may not be for them. But writers like Anne Lamott do feel the need to confess. She asks about her colicky child. Is it normal for a mother to adore her baby so desperately and at the same time think about choking him or throwing him down the stairs? Well, our next guest says yes. She calls it the kind of ambivalence felt but not acted on by a lot of moms. It's the monster within, the hidden side of motherhood, which is also the title of psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Barbara Almond's new book, and something she knows both professionally and personally. She's the mother of our critic at large, Steve Almond. We're going to get his reaction to her book in a minute. But meanwhile, reviewers are saying it's about time someone wrote it. Barbara Almond joins us from the Stanford University studios in California. Barbara, Dr. Almond, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get some definitions. Ambivalence, how do you define it?
Ambivalence is a mixture of love and hate. Many people make the mistake of thinking that ambivalence means hatred.
Or not
alone.
Caring. Yeah,
that's
but it's
right.
Love and hate. And you actually make the case that it's almost in some ways necessary for a mother to express those feelings, but also for a child to begin to grow away from the mother. Why?
Well, think about it this way. If a mother attends to every single need that the child has, the child never really develops enough a sense of separateness from the mother, a sense of its own mind. If a mother and child are constantly and always on the same page, it's a sort of a growth-stunting situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so you say that there's a healthy ambivalence, and then on the way far end of the spectrum, a very unhealthy ambivalence when you come to mothers like Andrea Yates who actually kill their children. Obviously, that's a horror. But tell us a little more about the balanced ambivalence. I mean, it does start to swing like a pendulum. When does it get out of balance? What would you consider out of balanced ambivalence?
When mothers are so focused on their children that they can't really attend to their own needs, then a kind of resentment begins to build up. That mothers say no or can't always do what their children want seems to me to be normal. And I think that in some ways children understand that.
So you're saying that's healthy ambivalence. But again, what's unhealthy?
Too much hostility, too much of the negative side. And in some ways, too much of the positive side. That's much more subtle.
Is that what you mean when you say that there are mothers who maybe ignore the ambivalence they feel because there's this push to be a perfect mother?
Yes.
It's not part of,
yeah. It's too disturbing to them. They don't admit it.
But can a child feel it anyway?
I think so.
Yeah. So here we have this ambivalence. And as you say, it seems two large categories, internalized mothers who want to maintain a facade as the perfect parent, beat themselves up for every mistake.
Right.
But then the mothers for whom this is an external thing.
Yeah. What I mean by that is this. A very good mother has every reason from time to time to blame her child for something. He knocks over her best crystal pitcher and breaks it. That kind of thing. There are mothers who experience their children's, let's say, naughty behavior as a punishment of them.
They take it personally.
Yes, that's right. They feel punished. They feel the child is trying to harm them in some way. And then there are mothers who become very guilty and self-blaming. And either of those, too extreme, is a problem.
What are you saying? It sounds as if there's a happy medium in which mothers can express to the people around them, you know, I'm having this feeling of ambivalence. I know, because it's even to speak it out loud, I imagine, in some places, you're supposed to adore your newborn and your child. You can't say you hate your child.
I don't know about using the word hate, except in very, you know, private situations. If a patient tells me that they hate their child, I generally know that they're talking about some of the time. So I don't think you tell a child you hate them, but I think you can say a lot of other things, you know.
Like what?
This is above and beyond. You have crossed the line. Go to your room or, you know, or whatever.
Is it the kind of language I'm you know, thinking of language like, you know, mommy loves you very much, but boy, I need a timeout now because I've just had it. That kind of thing.
Yeah. And I don't know if the child always has to be told mommy loves you very much. I think if mommy does love him or her very much, the child knows it.
Yeah. How does a woman know, a mother know when she's in trouble?
Sometimes they don't know. The worst, worst, worst end of the spectrum, which is, you know, is the murder of a child, I think is generally committed in a state of either psychosis or dissociation. I think these mothers don't really know what they're doing when they're doing it. Mothers know, hopefully know, when it's too much for them because of the anxiety and depression that they feel. But there has to be, you know, enough social acceptance of this for a mother to be able to deal with her own negative side. There has to be more understanding that, you know, you can't do it perfectly, and you're better off being honest with yourself.
And with the people around you.
Including the child. I mean, I would never say to a child, I hate you, but, you know, might easily say to a child, I have had it for now.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Well, we want to actually ask your child how that was growing up. But before,
oh, you can't believe a thing he says.
Well, we're going to try. But I just want to ask, because as I said, the Washington Post critic, Carolyn C., says it's a very scholarly book, should be read by every new mother, every old mother, good mother, bad mother, and guys too. But if she had one criticism, it's that you, as a Freudian analyst, put too much emphasis on Oedipal issues and, you know, father love and the idea that women become, you know, have a hard time mothering when they themselves were not mothered or parented well. Is it possible that women can have severe ambivalence without having had problems with their own mother?
Well, I doubt it. One can have strong ambivalence without it referring to the past, when you're just driven beyond what you can manage. But I think that we're all affected by our early experiences. And I'm actually not that much of a Freudian, but I'll stick to my guns about this. I think what happens to us as babies and children, you know, permeates us, affects us.
The title, The Monster Within, you talk about women coming into motherhood petrified that they are going to give birth to a monster. I mean, you know, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein has been dissected like crazy. That seemed to be her fear. But how many women have this ambivalence because they're afraid that they're the ones who are going to be the monster and hurt this child?
That's a really actually an excellent question. When I started with this book, I was writing from the first meaning. But now, at this point, that's the real meaning of the title, The Monster Within. It's the mother's fear of her own negative side that leads mothers to have to bend over backwards to be good mothers.
Barbara Almond, her book, The Monster Within, The Hidden Side of Motherhood, explores the negative feelings of ambivalence that mothers can have, feelings that are reinforced or expressed through our culture, fears that they will be monsters, you know, fairy tales are ripe with monstrous mothers, or I guess you could say stepmothers, or fears that they will give birth to monsters. There's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, or the film The Bad Seed. Here, the mother talks to her child after the death of a classmate, not knowing her child was the killer.
You're behaving very well, dear, but still it's a terrible thing to see and remember. I understand how you feel, darling.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't feel any way at all.
And of course, there's Rosemary's Baby. Talk about giving birth to a monster.
What have you done to him, you maniac?
Satan is his father, not Guy. He came up from hell and begat a son of mortal woman.
Barbara Almond is also the mother of our literary critic, Steve Almond. We're going to hear from him in a moment. But, Barbara, there are modern books as well. We have to talk about Kevin, that's about a difficult child, or Doris Lessing's The Fifth Child, same thing.
Yes, Beloved.
Beloved.
And
your own experience. We have your son, your now grown son, a father himself, sitting across from us here now, literary critic. And he comes in and talks about other things as well. Steve Almond. Steve, we want to bring you in here. What's it like for you to, I mean, we've been talking about, you know, parents figuring out the connection to their own parents. Here you have a mother confessing in a book that she had ambivalence about you.
Yes, well, obviously my attorneys are going to be able to answer this in more depth in a court of law. But, you know, honestly, I want to say a couple things. One is that the book, when I've been reading it in various forms, and as has my wife, and it has spread like wildfire amidst our friends, because women are told to parent in a particular way, and to be perfect about it. And they are told essentially to push down and ignore their ambivalence, and they need desperately to have somebody to tell them that that is not a crazy, monstrous set of feelings, but a perfectly natural and, in fact, inevitable set of feelings. And so it's been very gratifying for me to see that this project that my mom has been talking with me about and I've been reading, you know, pieces about actually really resonates in an incredibly viral way with not just other moms, but other dads as well, and anybody who's parenting.
But Barbara Almond, I'm wondering, one of the things you write about is, you know, you wanted children, but here you had this terrific career, a very serious career as a psychoanalyst, and you had mixed feelings about that. You'd leave a child at daycare, maybe Stephen, we're reading, and check.
No, it was actually, it wasn't Stephen, oh. But
well,
I was it's thrown, okay.
I was kept outside with the wolves.
We kept him in a bare little cottage, you know, with no heat. And
but you'd call daycare and check three times. This is so familiar to people. And whatever the anecdotes that you recognize were your own, Stephen, did you feel your mother's ambivalence when you were a child?
I think every child feels their parents' ambivalence.
Yeah,
I think that
sure.
The kids are incredibly perceptive. And now that I have mm-hmm. a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, I can recognize that I get terrifically angry and upset and disappointed at my kids, and I wasn't under the kind of pressure that my mother, God love her, was under, you know, doing her residency at Yale Medical School, one of 6 women graduating the class in 1960, and suddenly having 3 kids in the space of 2 years. I can't even begin to imagine the kind of pressure that my mom would have been under. But it's not it's not about us. It's really about this larger dynamic that I now recognize very pointedly as a parent, that it is impossible to love somebody that much without also being incredibly angry and disappointed at them at some point, at many points, and that the culture creates this fantasy around motherhood. And when moms are, they're not dying, but they're struggling because nobody is giving them the permission to admit how they really feel about it.
Yeah. There's another side of this, which, you know, Barbara, your mother's been saying, which is the mother has to be able to talk to her mate about this. Do
right.
you and your wife have these conversations?
Oh, God. I mean, we have these conversations. Do we ever? I mean, talk about overdetermined parenting. But, you know, the thing is that...
But is it okay for you if your wife says, I'm not sure we've done the right thing. I need to say something that might scare you.
I mean, look, the only thing in my book that is, and not literally the book, but in my sort of mm-hmm. way of thinking mm-hmm. about it, the only thing that's unacceptable is if you're not saying things that are truthful. You have to have room in any relationship, especially right. something as high pressure as parenting right. small kids, to tell the truth about how you're feeling. And you have to have somebody who understands that. Hopefully you're in a happy marriage where both people can be honest about that. But I think a lot of the pathologies and the rage and the anger that my mom is writing about, that is, as it appears in her patients, in her kids, in herself, in literature, arises from people who don't have the permission, won't grant themselves a permission to live in a culture that won't grant them the permission to feel that they can be honest about how they're really feeling yeah. about parenting a kid. I mean, kids are, you know, it's like they don't negotiate. That's the difference between a kid and a terrorist. You know, they don't negotiate under any terms. You have to realize that.
He's smiling.
By the way, that was beautiful, Steve. I like that very much. Why didn't I think of that?
I did. I edited. You wouldn't listen to my editing.
Well, Barbara, now you're a mother-in-law. Yet another
yes.
layer. So how can you help your daughter-in-law with the issue of ambivalence?
Well, you know, I got quite lucky. I have 2 really very nice daughters-in-law, and Steve's wife is very patient, you know, and
as would be evidenced by being married to Steve. Well, you know, can I say just as a side note, my mom, however she was as a mother, and I think she was fantastic, but as a mother-in-law, the thing that strikes me, Robin, is that she checks how Aaron's doing. It isn't just about the kids. Yes, she checks with how my wife is doing because she recognizes the kind of pressure cooker situation that Aaron's in. And it's not like she doesn't care about the kids. She wants to know how her little uchki-butchkis are doing. But she really is careful to check in with Aaron and say, how are you doing? Because she knows that the mom is the person who is least likely to hear sympathetic voices and people who want to know how she's dealing with you know, the pressures of mothering.
That's Here and Now literary critic Steve Almond talking about his mom, psychoanalyst and psychiatrist Barbara Almond. Her new book is The Monster Within, The Hidden Side of Motherhood. Barbara, Dr. Almond, and Steve, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.